Dean Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
God, it's Friday night. I'm pegging your speakers. You know what that means. Friday night, Spank Wagon Radio, the greatest award-winning internet radio show. Just ask Showdown Network. We won their 2008 Network Show of the Year. Tonight, we're going to prove exactly how out of the loop Big Daddy Decaf really is. At the exact same time, we're going to point out how miserable Murphy is. We have some audio for you. Because we're so kick-ass, we got to talk to John Romita Jr. Well, my dumbass was in Iowa. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce the rest of the crew. Sitting across from me, the man, the myth, the really unattached to reality guy here, Big Daddy D. Casalo.
Hey, what's going on, man? Well, I've been busy. School, work, Lakers. That's about it.
Now let me introduce the other guy. He's all pissed off because children are in the chat room.
Don't talk about Bytor like that.
It's been a fucking suck week. Ugh!
Get that off your chest, dude.
I knew he was coming.
I think this is one of those shows I'm just not going to push any buttons with Murph. I'm really not going to. No, not at all. Hey, by the way, I'm Trencher. You can find us all online by going to spankwagon.net.
Hey, did he have... Oh, you weren't there, though.
No.
He didn't have my face at the New England Patriots lost the Super Bowl.
No.
Did I...
No, I don't think... I don't even know what can match that anger, man. Come on. You know me.
Dude.
And you saw me.
Dude. Do we want to talk about this now? No, let's talk about what else we got going on tonight.
You know what? I know we got a lot of stuff. We do have some audio from the kick-ass comic book show. The
Wolverine VIP weekend.
Thank you.
Which was a really cool event. We had a lot of fun with that.
I got swine flu.
Yeah, you got swine flu. We had, let's see. Let's just run down just the quickie points on that. Let me look here. Let's see. Fuck you, Ricky, first off. Ass. God damn it.
Ricky.
Do you want to talk about that right now or?
Well, you take charge, man.
Okay,
go somewhere.
So we did the Wolverine weekend thing, which was really cool.
Right.
Last Friday, it's why we weren't live. Myself and Decaf, we were down in at the Palms.
I gotta turn up my headset here. Hold on.
No, okay.
I gotta turn up my headset
so you can hear yourself.
Hold on.
La la.
There we go. So myself and Big Daddy, we were live down.
Big Daddy Decaf.
Big Daddy Decaf. We were live down in the Palms hosting
black
this.
Black ass. I saw my ass on the camera.
Oh, Jesus.
Dude, yeah. I saw your ass and I had people look away. They're like, oh, no, no, guy, no.
I definitely did not look at your ass.
That's why everybody looked at the video twice online.
Yeah. Actually, we had really good numbers on that. But it was myself, Big Daddy Decaf, and we took Larry with us.
Less than ultimate Wolverine.
Less than ultimate Wolverine.
Awesome.
The cool thing about Larry is that Larry doesn't have an off button. He's pretty much that way the entire time. Oh, hey, look, Toe's in the chat room. Oh, boy. Larry is great because you can take him places.
He don't give a fuck.
He doesn't give a fuck. He has no shit. We have a new stunt boy, basically.
You know, me and Murphy, we're always uptight and conservative and don't want to do any kind of stunts or anything like that.
No, dude, we're just sick and tired of doing all the stunts. That's what it is. So it was cool to have Larry there because Larry would do the things we wouldn't do. Now, we've got pictures. Hopefully, are you going to get those online soon, Decaf?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to get the pictures online. Larry, who, for those of you that saw Larry from one of our live shows at Comic Oasis, Larry's about 6 foot, probably about 220 pounds.
Yeah, three strands of hair.
Three strands of hair.
And 6.5 kegs of beer.
Yeah, and the best part about Larry that night was him in the child's extra large Wolverine t-shirt, the three strap-on Wolverine claws that
oh,
came
God.
Up. Oh, let's see. They came up about this far, that's about that far, about the size of Zercer's penis, about that far, and a small cardboard Wolverine mask. So we had him come running out. He comes leaping out over the bar.
Oh, my God, I missed this.
And he wound up posing with two chicks, hot
the
chicks. Dark Phoenix, and we had a Storm chick there.
Phoenix was just fucking amazing. I got some pictures of her.
Yeah.
But you have to sign up and join the Nation of Smank to see those pictures.
Yeah, we're gonna. That's all gonna be on the gallery here. That's gonna launch very, very soon. Decaf's gonna upload a bunch of pictures.
Because we got it all ready. We just gotta wait for Decaf to actually build the rest of the site now.
But that event was really cool. We met a lot of really cool people, except for you, Ricky. Fuck you, Ricky.
What's this, Ricky?
Oh, fucking Christ!
Please tell me. You didn't tell me this on the phone call on Saturday.
So we get there and. I love Joe, the guy from the Palms. He's a great guy.
He loves us.
He's a little bit lacking on the details, though. And he was supposed to have the guy there at 6:30 to set up all the mics. And he says, well, they said they'd be here about 7, but if they don't...
Oh, this is Ricky.
This is Joe. He says, if they're not here, I don't know what we'll do. So I'm like, all right, well, just in case, we had brought our wireless mics, which aren't, you know, like super sure quality or anything. They're a nice size. But, fuck. So we hook them all up. It took me about 20 minutes in this tiny
because we're using you were using your iPhone as a fucking flashlight.
As a flashlight.
Because there's no fucking light in the room.
No
and
light.
No fucking sockets.
Nothing. There's no light, no power sockets. I had to fucking beg and borrow to get this thing. We get it all hooked up. We start using the mics. They sound okay. They're not fantastic. And they're in this little tiny room in the back of this hallway. And I'm like, this is really low. I got to bring these down. I go over there and the door is closed. And I'm trying to open the door and it doesn't open. And I'm looking around. And this little guy, Ricky, who was from, I think he was from Game Tag, looks at me. Oh, sorry, man. I closed that door. So he locked all of our gear in this room with really low mic volume and a little bit of squelch in there that could have been, we could have fixed that. But we didn't get a chance to because Ricky locked us in the room, locked the door. So we had to wait like 20 minutes for the guy to show up. The guy shows up. He's like, hey, I'm here to hook up your wireless mics. So he hooks up the wireless mics. I had no idea that Derek actually had to pay to do this. We thought it was going to be gratis. We didn't think the fucking Palms was going to charge for this shit. But
oh,
sure
yeah,
enough,
to pay to use microphones?
Yeah, Derek was nice enough
that.
To pay for that. And those are really nice mics, too.
Yeah, they were some nice
mics. They were. I bet they were like Shure's. I think you told me they were Shure's.
They were Shure's.
I got one at home. I mean.
Yeah. What? Did you steal some for us? Because these would probably be the Shure's multi-frequency, which means you could adjust the frequency to match up the unit so you don't have to buy both the head unit and the microphone.
It was a nice microphone.
Yeah, they were really nice.
I wish I had a budget.
But the other thing that happened is when we were sitting there getting ready to set up, this guy walks by us and walks into this other little room off the edge. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I know that guy. He's doing his thing. I'm like, Decaf, look who that is. He's like, oh, no. Really? Guy comes walking back. And I say to the guy, hey, last time I saw you, you had your dick in some girl. And it was Thomas.
Wait.
Yes.
Dude. Mr. Oh, he was Thomas so fucking was hilarious.
Yes.
It was Mr. Gerald Saunders Sir's porn guy.
Yes.
One of them.
He was there. He wasn't there for the event. I guess he does something with the Palms.
I finally met someone who laughs more than fucking me. This fucker laughs a lot. So he was like, hey, fucking guys. And he had this beat up gym bag and shit.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
Just dragging it around with him. But he's doing some stuff there. I mean,
male prostitution.
And then complain about his job and shit. I'm like, dude, you get the fuck, you know, girls all the time.
Let's just recap for a second here. You have sex with women while we go home and masturbate to those videos.
Hold on. Add it on. you have sex with women for money.
For money, you get paid
you
to
get
do
paid
this.
To fuck.
Oh, so that was Thomas. We love that guy, though. He's great. He's fantastic. He's really funny. So we spent about 10 minutes talking to him. And all in all, it was a really cool event. It was, I mean.
Well, I'll tell you what's funny, though. I kept some of it. What was it? The shaving. The girls.
Oh, the American males.
Yeah, yeah. and they had three products for to help you.
Yeah, they had three hair. Male hair. No, no, they were hair products for. They weren't removal products. Oh. They were hair products for like they had
for Larry.
No, for those of us with hair. Oh. There was, what was it? Maneuver.
It was maneuver.
Grip.
Grip tight.
Grip tight, and then
and tough. Stay and tough.
Stay tough. They sounded like gay porn movies, and this is you expect me to put this shit in my hair?
And the girl couldn't get through the whole fucking movie. She couldn't
stay
get through
tough.
Without laughing. She
just
was laughing the whole
tough.
Time. But it was two fine ass girls sitting at this table,
right.
And there was a group of like 20 guys all surrounded the TV playing fucking Marvel versus Capcom 2. Not one of those dudes even glanced at the girls over there.
What the fuck is wrong with them?
She's too cute to talk.
She's hot.
She's hot. I can't. I just did a combo with BAX.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, diff, left, right. It was really funny to see how those guys just wouldn't do anything.
They
wouldn't
do
night.
Anything. They wouldn't even fucking look at the girls, man. You walk in front of the fucking TV, they didn't even fucking move.
They didn't even twitch.
Well, you guys and the porn dude are all like, whoa.
Yeah. And then
and Derek, because Derek's normal too.
Now, the girls from American Male, that's the name of that place. American Male. They're like
they're hot.
They're like a guy designed like salon or some shit. They do back waxing and they do bikini waxing for men. Larry said he'd do it. So we're going to take Larry down there.
Get the video.
Get the camera out. We're going to take Larry down there.
Nice.
And we're going to have Larry's back and nether region waxed.
Wow. Wow.
That's why I like Larry, because he'll do the shit that I'm sick and tired of doing. Because five years ago, I'd be the one doing that.
Yeah, no, I said I was done with doing bits and shit.
So we don't have to anymore.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I want to remind everybody you're listening to Spank Wagon Radio. You can find us online at spankwagon.net.
.net.
Drink, bitch, drink.
Don't forget the Spank Wagon drinking game. You can find the rules online by going to spankwagon.net or forum.spankwagon.net to get to those drinking rules.
Are you really going
to
give our monkeys that many addresses to deal with?
Dude, I'm trying everything I can. Everything.
Well, you try everything you can to spice up that website a little bit too.
I'm trying everything I can to get someone to use a forum that I've had up for 2 months.
Someone said something to me the other day, by the way, that I think was
I got a couple of people said some things to me too.
They said,
the site.
"I love the site. It has the exact same personality as Trencher."
Exactly.
None.
Who said that?
Yes, that's awesome.
I think I know who said that.
Who said that?
Just someone we know.
Come on, I gotta know.
No, it was a friend of the show. So then Saturday I went down and I went to Free Comic Book Day and I got my copy of Deadpool versus the Marvel Universe, which was great. Took the kids, they had a blast. Everyone got comic books and
that's probably what you called me for on Saturday morning.
That's what I called you on Saturday morning to see if you were going to go. The best, well, not the best part, but the worst part was there were all kinds of issues Saturday. Everyone was running, or Friday, Saturday, everyone was running late, everything like that. Saturday, the air conditioning broke at Comic Oasis. It was like a sauna in there, and God bless them. Everybody was in there. Herb Trimpe did not make the trip, I guess.
Okay.
So it was just John Romita Sr., John Romita Jr., and Joel Rubenstein.
And a broken AC.
Joel Rubenstein, by the way, was none too thrilled at Less Than Ultimate Wolverine. We did interview Joel as well. So what we're going to do is we're going to play the John Romita interview tonight, and then we're going to put the Joel Rubenstein video, or we're going to put the Rubenstein clip up on the website so you guys
under
can
the
download
VIP
in the VIP section,
okay.
On the forum.
So did you put that on my jump drive?
Yes. I just put the John Romita one on there. So,
okay, we'll get the other one.
Yeah, we'll get
jump
the other one
too.
On there soon. I have to do a little editing on that. But we're going to have that on there. And you can just hear Larry. I love him, but he puts his foot in his mouth right in the beginning of the interview, and it just sets the tone for everything. And it was just really uncomfortable.
Nice.
I didn't hear. You know what? I was there and didn't hear none of the interview. I took pictures, you know.
Yeah, you were around doing photography.
Yeah, but he looked – Larry looked like he was –
Larry
like he's like, about to shit his pants.
He's like, oh no. Just Larry he's says like, something really dumb right in the beginning, and it just
damn it.
Sets the tone. And it,
so in other words, Larry's not allowed near a microphone, but he's allowed to take bikini wax.
No, we'll let him near a microphone. We just won't let him near other people with a microphone.
Well, we let Gorilla come to a microphone. We'll let anybody go close to a microphone.
But we do want to say huge thank you to Comic Oasis, Derek over there, for letting us be a part of that. We really appreciate that, buddy. Dot net.
Spank like radio. It's like brain damage, except without the nasty head injury.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Spankwagon Radio. Spankwagon.net is proudly hosted by CanisHosting.com. For all of your metal needs, it is brutal.
Oh, yeah, we're back. Me, Mr. Personality.
Hi, my name's Trencher. I'm the wet towel of the group.
Actually, you know what? I am. I mean, there's no argument about that. Used to be kind of a running joke with the friends back in Iowa that...
Used to be.
Okay, still is. If you want to ruin a good time, just bring me along. So it's nice
That's
to know
what your
that...
your girlfriend tells us all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to know I'm very consistent. Yeah.
Cookie loves you.
No, that. Thank you. You don't even know if you hate white people or you're a hateful white person. I don't even know. All right, Big Daddy D came across from me, Mr. Murphy, Mr. Murphy's Rock and Roll Power, which you can hear Tuesday nights here at LV Rocks.
Right,
gotta
well,
pitch it out.
All I want to know is the Dodgers going to choke like the Titans did.
Oh, fuck. Here we go with Dodgers talk. You have no clue what the hell's going on, do you?
You've been out of the loop all week,
haven't
you?
All I know is they won 12 games straight, and that's the last I heard.
They did win 12 games straight. And then the next day, then they won 13, and they were 13-0 at home. And then Manny Ramirez got suspended for 50 games for violation of the drug policy.
Strike two.
Yeah.
50 games?
50 games.
Right there. Right there you go. We are not out of the era of the steroids.
Well, okay, now, hang on a sec. The test came back. He did not test positive for steroids. He tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs. The drug it looks like he tested positive for is HCN. HCN is a women's fertility drug, excuse me. And the drug has several different uses. Now, Manny came out and said, yes, I took it. It was prescribed by a doctor for a medical condition. The doctor looked it up and said it should be all right. Turns out it was on the banned list, and I'll take responsibility and I'll take the ban. So he's taking the 50-game suspension.
Okay.
He did not appeal it. He did not didn't appeal it, didn't fight it at all. He just literally just took it.
He's like, okay, yeah, I did it, so I'll take it.
Now, better than Alex Rodriguez, where he just denied, and said, no, I did this years ago, and I got it in the Dominican Republic.
You can't throw him under the bus to save your boy.
No. And this is where it's really kind of bothering me. Now, the rest of the story that hasn't come out yet, that's just rumors right now, is another use for HCN. There are two other uses for HCN. The first is to, well, I mean, one of the primary things that HCN does is it forces the body to produce testosterone if you have a testosterone lull. Two ways it happens. One, you have a testosterone lull if you're between, or a low if you're between cycles using steroids.
Uh-huh.
Another thing that can happen is, and this is what the rumor is it has sexual benefits. If Viagra and Cialis don't work for you, HCN will, because it'll up your body's testosterone production, thus helping you perform sexually.
So what we're saying is Manny needed help with Manny.
Manny needed help with little Manny. Now, he's not swinging his own bat. Either way, Manny took something he shouldn't have taken.
Right.
Now, this is the first time for me as a baseball fan where a player on a team, on the Dodgers, has faced this while he's still on the team. Paul LaDuca and Eric Gagne both have faced steroid allegations. Mm-hmm. LaDuca kind of got out of it, but Gagne did not. You know, there's Barry Bonds, there's Rafael Palmeiro, these guys.
So are you going to throw them under the bus like you threw all the other people who took steroids under the bus? Or are you going to actually join my side this time and say that people are fucking ridiculous about it?
It hurts, but...
The thing is, man, it's like...
Dude, the day this came out, I went to work wearing a fucking Manny Ramirez t-shirt. And the night before that, I sat down with my son and explained why Manny Ramirez was such a great ball player. And it comes to find out that he may have cheated. Now, if this was prescribed for him and it was used for sexual purposes, well, then I can't really fault the guy. It's like, okay.
Cialis.
Yeah, well, no. There are cases where Cialis and Viagra don't work, and you have to look at something that pumps up your natural testosterone level before those will even work for you. Mm-hmm. So that is a thing. But if he used it to cheat, I mean... Okay, look. You guys know I'm such a hardcore... Why you got to do this to me, dude?
Hello, I'm Manny Ramirez.
Let me put myself...
I am Manny Ramirez, and look, when I am not able to swing my bat...
I am able to swing my dick because I think
HCN. It's a women's infertility. You know, maybe Manny wanted to be Annie. I don't know. I'm really
Well, no wonder you're such a fan.
I'm really, really torn on this because you guys know my rule. You know, I cannot support a player that does this, but if it wasn't to cheat, then who knows? Now, here's the thing about that. Everybody is saying, wow, what the fuck? Tony La Russa, one of the aides walked into the clubhouse at St. Louis and said told Tony that Manny had been busted, and Tony said, you've got to be kidding me. The entire Red Sox front office that have gone out of their way to sell Manny down the river as a horrible human being have all come out and said, we don't believe this. This is unbelievable. This can't be. There has to be more to it than this because this never has shown up. Manny has never shown any of the signs that a steroid user does.
Right.
He hasn't had the reoccurring injuries, especially in the knees and elbows. He did have that hammy injury, and he had one knee injury his last year with Boston that they figured was fake, that the MRI turned up negative on. He hasn't had the weird weight loss. He hasn't had the weird, the body sizing. They went back and looked at, you know, you go back and look at Bonds' career, and you can see it. They went back and looked at Manny's career, and Manny's weight and size has been consistent his entire career.
Right.
He has gotten bigger, but not.
And, you know, it's funny. It's Vitor. He's talking about how, you know, cheating stuff. I told him, I said, the thing is that people don't realize is that people don't give a fuck. Yeah, okay, bye.
No.
Vitor's like, oh, like hell they don't. They don't. Because the same fucking people who say, oh, they cheating this, the oh, they taking steroids, and that, they're going to be at the fucking games. They're going to be cheering on Manny when he comes back in 50 games from now. I don't, you know, you can sit here and talk about all the steroids. Oh, no, I'm not going to like this person because of steroids.
Dude.
I'm not going to like this person because of steroids. But they're going to still cheer for the motherfucker. They're still going to buy his goddamn jerseys.
You know, I have a goddamn Manny jersey at home. I am really torn on this. I don't know what to do. We're going to a Dodger game in August, and it's going to be the Dodgers and the Brewers, and I don't know what to do.
Let's go. Oh, man.
Go to the Dodgers and cheer for your team.
Yeah, start cheering for the Brewers.
Ultimately,
nobody cheers for Brewers. These are the people in Milwaukee.
Look, this really fucking hurts. I mean, I like Manny. I like Manny as a guy. I like him as a player.
But why? Okay. You like him as a player. You like him as a guy. Okay. All that great stuff. But, you know, I think people will still buy the shirts. You're absolutely right. They'll still buy the jerseys. But he does a big yet again, this is another big name that's doing a huge harm to baseball. I'm sorry.
A-Rod comes back today.
A-Rod came back today.
First pitch he got today, mm-hmm. over the fence. He fucking homered that shit.
Now.
Oh, yeah. He was really out with that hit.
Now, the steroids destroy baseball or save baseball?
They've destroyed it.
I'll
be honest with me. The steroids have destroyed baseball. And the thing is, also with baseball, is no longer America's pastime.
Now football is. By the way, football, guy gets busted in football, he gets a 4-game suspension, and not another fucking word is said about it. Fucking football farms, as some of these towns are, especially in the Midwest and in Texas, these football farm towns, they are pumping these kids full of fucking drugs and hormones. No, that's bullshit.
I know it's in every
fucking sport. Steroids have ruined baseball. They got people now. All they care about now is fucking the long ball.
Baseball has ruined baseball.
No, baseball is pure. And these guys with this bullshit and the fans' addiction to this is the problem with American sports, is that all we care about is the long win. No one cares about small
ball. Only people care about statistics and wins.
Nobody cares about fucking a real honest-to-God pitcher's duel. Nobody cares about small ball. Look at football now. All anybody cares about is the fucking guy who can run 90 yards or the guy who can fucking throw the ball 75 yards. Nobody gives a shit about...
Or Favre.
Nobody gives a shit about seriously breaking down that line and moving the ball inches, yards.
Okay, well, then I'll give you an example. I tell you why. Because
we're lazy.
It's not just because we're lazy. It's because everything, especially in this country, everybody wants to be the extreme. Nothing's good enough. You know what I mean? If someone goes and they die on the road, it's not good enough. You guys see the person blow their brains out and fall off the building, just smashing the ground. Then that's fucking exciting. You know what I'm saying? That's how it is in this country. It's because it's like baseball. If you go back to how it was with the fat white dudes running down, you know, the bases.
David Wells?
Ain't no one going to fucking watch your shit. Nope. If you go back and football players are not running it, they're not getting that 100-yard return like, you know, the dude on Pittsburgh. No one's going to fucking watch the game. That's the thing that people don't understand is that, yes, okay, yeah, they're taking steroids and stuff, but the fans demand it because everything in America has to be better. It has to be the best. It can't be how it used to be. No one's going to watch fucking old white people dribble basketballs and put them in the fucking peach basket. I'm sorry. I ain't fucking watch that shit. You know what I mean? I'd rather see some motherfucker jump from the free throw line and dunk on everybody.
Right,
that's
right.
That's exciting. That's how it is.
Vert says in the chat room, desensitized. So you're saying that a lot of the fan base is desensitized to just average play.
Yeah. You know, I want to throw this out there, guys. If anybody wants to call in and fucking chime in on this, please do. I mean, the number on the phones, it's 1-866-LB-ROCKS. It's 1-866-587-6257. You know, I'm not sitting here saying I'm going to still root for Manny. I don't know what I'm going to do. And this is the first time I've had to go through this. A lot of people know I'm not a, I haven't been a sports fan my entire life.
But it hasn't been, but it wasn't steroids. It was,
no, it was, but it was still performance-enhancing drugs. Okay. It's still something that changed his natural ability, and that is what pisses me off. I've only been in this country 20 years. I'm sorry. This town, we didn't have a sports team. We didn't have shit. The only reason I follow the Titans is because...
UNLV, baby.
UNLV. I follow the Titans because they were an expansion team, and I considered myself an expansion of this country. And baseball, I'm a baseball fan because the first baseball game I ever went to was a Dodger game. So you know what? Fucking, I'm a Dodger fan. I have never been through this situation personally where a player, you know, yeah, Daryl Strawberry, but all he was doing was snorting the third baseline. I've never been in this personally, and this is, I don't know really how to deal with this, and anybody will tell you, these guys will tell you, you cut me open and I bleed Dodger blue. I am a hardcore Dodger fan.
You know, so...
This personally hurts me, especially my feelings about steroids and how much I love the pureness of baseball.
Well, it's kind of like me because you know me. If you cut me open, I'm going to bleed New England Patriots.
I thought if we cut you open, you'd bleed orange soda.
That was grape soda.
Grape soda. Sorry,
grape soda and Newports.
And Newports. And KFC grilled chicken.
And Jack Daniels. But but the thing is, it's like, you know, when the whole cheating scandal, and I still have to take a lot of heat from, you know, oh, they're watching videos and cheating and stuff like that. But, you know, you kind of have to go on. As a sports fan, you go on and go, okay, you know, yeah, it was is a shitty situation, and you go on. But the thing is, it's like, I you know, it's not so much that it's like, oh, well, Manny got suspended for 50 games and he was doing an enhancing drug. I feel bad because I really wanted to see the Dodgers go somewhere this year. And they still, you know, they may stay, you know, they may still go, but I know, you know, it's going to be hard without their star player.
It is going to be hard, but let me just say this. The Dodgers have a hell of a team this year. Yesterday, you know, I'm watching the game yesterday, and I'm saying to myself,
and then they didn't have to pay $50 million a player like the Yankees did.
I'm sitting there yesterday, I'm watching the game. It's the first game without Manny, and in the first inning, my stomach is in knots because can the Dodgers do it without it? Why not loading the bases? And it was against the Nationals of all teams. You had the team with the best record in all of baseball against the team with the worst record in all of baseball. Bases loaded, and up comes Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp's got two grand slams this year. They're both against Colorado in L.A., and I'm sitting in my – he's hitting like 154 this homestand. He's had like two hits in the last 22 at-bats. I'm sitting there going, oh, Christ, Matt Kemp, what are we going to do? Because Matt Kemp – it'd be Matt Kemp or Ethier that really would fill in for Manny.
Right.
And fucking Kemp rips one over the wall and gets a granny in the first inning. The Dodgers wound up going down yesterday, though. They lost 9-11. They got lit up in the end of the game. It wasn't a lack of offense this year for the Dodgers. It was a lack of pitching, and that's going to be their big problem with Kuroda out and these two young starters they've got, McDonald and Kershaw, back to back. That really does put a lot of stress on the bullpen. That's why they had to bring, of all people, fucking Jared Weaver back, and they brought him up and they put him. Now he's starting until Kuroda gets back. So the Dodgers have a legitimate chance this year. They will be the best team in the NL West, but that, again, is like being the prettiest waitress at Denny's. There's not a lot of competition in the NL West. The Diamondbacks just fired their coach. You've got the fucking Giants who have what? What do you got with the Giants? You've got one pitcher. You've got Lincecum. That's it.
But let's get back on task here with the Manny and the drug use. And, you know, yeah, they have the depth. They have the field. Great. Then I guess the question is, are you worried too much about one player and forsaking the entire organization? Because I think that happens a lot.
It does.
And in situations like this where one player fucks up so bad, or even just at all, okay? And the rest of the organization is affected because all the fans are not quite to your level of fandom. You know, they're just casual fans, and they recognize a name or a couple of names and then go from there.
Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think the fan count is going to be while Manny's out suspended for those 50 games.
Oh, it's going to hurt.
Count when he comes back.
It's going to hurt. And
now, you think that the fan count is going to go back up once Manny Ramirez comes back?
I think.
Of course it will.
Yeah. It's going to, because people are. But the question is, are they going to watch to watch Manny win, or are they going to watch Manny fail?
They're going to watch.
No, I don't think they're going to watch to watch Manny fail. They're just going to watch to see what Manny does next. Because Manny is Manny.
And they're really, I mean, there's a chunk of, I don't know if anybody else has been following this, there's a chunk of Dodger Stadium that has its own zip code now. And they call it Mannywood. They actually got it its own zip code. The seats there are $99 for two of them. It's two seats and two Mannywood t-shirts. And Manny's not playing. And it's not that he's hurt. And it's not that he's been suspended for 50
games.
50 games.
Back July 3rd. Hey, real quick, want to make sure everybody is aware. The lines are open. 1-866-LV-ROCKS. 1-866-587-6257.
You know, one thing I like about what Manny said in his statement is that he apologized to the fans, he apologized to the courts, and he took responsibility for it. He didn't try and blame it on his cousin for giving it to him, and he didn't try and say, no, I didn't do it.
It wasn't my trainer. It wasn't my trainer.
He knew what he was doing, and he kind of did say, you know, well, my doctor gave it to me. My doctor thought it'd be all right. But he said, it's my fault. It's my responsibility. What I put in my body is my responsibility, and he admitted to it. And I think... In my eyes, this is what Manny has to do to really repent. Number one, he needs to spend the next 50 games working out. He needs to spend the next 50 games shagging balls in an outfield somewhere. He needs to work on his defensive play, because Manny is not a good defensive player. He needs to make sure he does not slip. His talent doesn't go downhill. He already had a short spring training, and he's on track to do well, but his play has not been where it should have been. He is not the big offensive weapon for the Dodgers right now. He needs to practice on that. When he comes back, he needs to be humble. He needs to thank the fans. And the first thing he needs to do is fucking sign that second-year contract and show the fans in L.A.
I knew where this guy.
Okay. Show the fans in L.A. that that's what he's there for.
You know, and is that possible? I don't know. I mean, baseball isn't about the teams anymore. It's about the individual players. That's what I just said a little bit ago. You know,
sports is not about the team.
No, sports isn't about the team anymore. It used to be about the team.
Yeah.
It's not about the team. It's about the individual players and individual egos. And me, I'm a casual fan. I mean, I'm kind of sub-casual. I really follow only if I'm really motivated to follow. And honestly, shit like this, I'm so upset, because here's a yet again, I see it from my point of view, being another ego ruining a team or ruining a sport. And baseball has been dragged through the mud. Will it recover like it did after the big strike in the 90s? Yeah, probably. But will it ever quite have the same allure or luster? No, not at all. I could be wrong, but, you know, I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, I'm not happy with it, because, yet again, one ego overruns the entire organization. You said to yourself, everybody was kind of like, oh, God, what's going to happen? They're going to suck for the next 50 games.
Yeah.
You're right. You let one person with a big fucking ego take control of your team.
They're really going to
shame on you.
They're really going to suck that bad in the National League?
No, I don't think they're going to suck. I think they're going to sit
the
on
National
top.
League, the National League is not exactly the best fucking league.
National League.
National League is the Eastern Conference.
I love the National. Yeah, I love the National League. However,
anybody who likes pitching likes the National League. Yeah. But yeah, I think what needs to happen now, the Dodgers need to go out and they need to basically
recruit from their Albuquerque Isotopes.
I think they're going to go
AAA team.
They need to go and spend some money and buy a bat. They need to buy somebody. Matt Holliday, who's playing for the A's right now, he goes free agent next year.
They pick
him up for the rest of the year, and then you can alternate.
Green was the last bat they had that they said, nah.
Well, I always thought Green was more of a defensive player. He was great out there.
He had that great run. I mean, that really great run. And, I mean,
yeah.
53 hits, consecutive hits at bat.
Yeah, and he had the sweetest swing in all of baseball.
And what did they do?
They let him go.
Thank you, right there.
But now, if they get Matt Holliday from the A's, that gives them someone at least to fill the
gap. But how much does Matt Holliday cost? Okay, we're talking.
Well, they're going to
save Torrey, but we're not talking Steinbrenner.
No, they're going to save $7.7 million for Manny. So
yeah,
he's suspended. It's not that he has to pay a fine. He just doesn't get that.
And
money.
And that's one of the things with his contract, which actually most contracts now, is that if you are suspended, you do not get paid $7.7 million, 50 games. Someone do the math of really quick. I mean, in our chat room, really quick. We got a lot of hackers and super intelligent people out there. Do the math. $7.7 million over 50 games. How much money per game? And what's an average? How many times does Manny get up to bat, you think?
Oh, many bets. What, four times a game?
So four at-bats. So take that, divide that per game, and then per at-bat. And let's find out how much Manny is really fucking worth right now.
Yeah, Manny's worth a lot of money, but this is going to hurt.
And how much his fucking ego is ruined. You know, currently ruined the morale of his team, the fans, fair weather, super true blues, or, you know, casual whatevers like me. Do the math.
It's This has been a rough week for sports. There's been a lot of issues. The Pacquiao Hatton fight was last Saturday.
That fight was fucking
awesome. Oh my god.
That fight was fucking awesome. You know what? You know, most,
yeah.
You know, two rounds. It was two rounds. Though it was actually over in the first, but
I kicked your ass.
It just got finished in the second.
Yeah.
For those of us that didn't see the fight, recap what happened.
All
for
right. Him. Well, I'll tell you. Well, I'll go back a little bit to the fucking De La Hoya. I'm going to walk around the ring and get punched for eight rounds and still get paid $25 million fight. You know, a lot of people pay, you know, that fight went eight rounds because one thing people always complain about is short fights. I pay $50 of, you know, and I get a short ass fucking fight. Blah, blah,
that's
blah,
why
right?
I pay wrestling pay per views. I know I'm getting 3 hours.
You know, so
UFC events.
So, you know, people get all pissed off and stuff. But one thing about this fight is that, like, our cousin room with a bunch of family members and some other friends and stuff like that. After the fight, the knockout was so good, no one complained about how short the fight was. It was a solid knockout. Yeah, this fucker got knocked down twice and then absolutely fucking destroyed.
Yeah.
When you know you get hit, and you do that Mike Tyson punch out, wah, 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 right? He did the turn. Right? He turned, fucking fell down, and then collapsed.
Hatton was the great white hope. He really was, you know.
You know, I was just thinking the reason the fight cost so damn much is because, I mean, everybody was in one house watching Pacquiao. That's what, 5.3 million people?
Right. Yeah. Pacquiao, I tell you what, a lot of people now are talking Pacquiao Mayweather, possibly Pacquiao and I can't remember the guy's name.
So Mayweather going to run a whole fight like no
Well, Mayweather said he's coming out of retirement. So
really?
Is he going to fight? Yeah. Is he going to dance around the ring and win?
Or is he just going to be in commercials for Verizon Wireless?
Verizon and Doritos. Didn't he do Dorito commercials too?
I don't know. I can't see him doing a Dorito commercial. I really can't.
But that was a really short fight.
It was a short fight, but it was almost very predictable.
Yeah,
everybody knew that he was gonna get knocked the fuck out. It was more of a matter of which round he's gonna get knocked.
When are you gonna get knocked out?
I thought Hatton stood a chance. I really did. I mean, he doesn't have Pacquiao's speed, but I thought he stood a chance because I thought if he could weather the storm at least three rounds.
Okay, I'm sorry, but at that weight class, speed is all you really have because your punch is, while it's fucking kick ass.
No, you can look. Little guys fight till they're hamburger. Okay, and like I said, if he could weather the storm for three rounds, I thought he'd have it. But no, it's not.
Ain't no way.
He didn't have.
Ain't nobody look like.
Now he's talking about retiring
in the chat room. Cookie's talking about taking on Pac-Man, but I highly doubt it's the way we all think.
Heyo,
or maybe it is.
Ain't nobody who looks like Conan O'Brien gonna win against the Bulldog.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, we want to hear your guys' opinion on any of this. Give us a call, 1-866-LV-ROCKS, 1-866-587-6257. We want to hear from you because we are Spank Wagon Radio, spankwagon.net. And hey, other ways to get a hold of us, we have our email, radio@spankwagon.net, plus our MySpace, our Twitter. And actually, if you go to spankwagon.net, we have bio pages in our About Us thing now, so you can start checking them out.
Yeah. Decaf has to make his. I made mine. Trenchers is, well.
Well, you'll see.
Fitting.
Actually, it's growing.
It's growing.
It's growing.
You added two pictures on the page now?
It's going to, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Dirty D's back in the chat. Hi, D. She's a sweetheart. I like her. She's fun. What else we got going? I mean, the Pacquiao fight was great. Yeah, the Titans are going to fucking, they're going to toss. Anyway, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Well, we have about five more minutes before
he's
the break.
He's giving me the roll and stretch me. What? Okay. So get the large black man's music together. He's got something to say, motherfucker.
God damn. It's been a long ass time. Last time I got to do a darker perspective, it wasn't even fucking me. That's how long it's fucking been. I said a skinny ass cracker to try to throw me under the bus, pale ass cracker ass motherfucker. Whipped ass motherfucker chained up to the fucking couch right now. Can't leave because his wife got his fucking car keys and his phone texting me back when I text him. But anyway, this is the Darker Perspective, y'all. It's Big Daddy Decaf. Hey, you know, I've been looking at CNN. I can read and shit, you know. You know, that's very rare for a Negro these days. But one thing I noticed is they're talking about a lot of hate groups. Hate groups forming because just because of Obama's president and the hate groups in these other states that, you know, can't, you know, put all their they can't spell and shit, you know, forming together. Now, I've looked at some of these pictures, right? And some of these pictures are it's like pictures of little white kids. I don't even think they know what racial discrimination even fucking is. But they're holding signs saying, like, kill niggas and I hate motherfuckers. And, you know, they're being absolutely brainwashed at a young age. What I don't understand is that after all this time, people don't realize, you know, these hate groups are forming, saying that Obama's fucking up this, Obama's fucking up that. Don't you realize that the only reason why Obama got in office is because your white people voted for the motherfucker in the first place? But people don't realize that. But, you know, I guess I was looking at some of these articles, and they're saying that 80 people a day is joining these, you know, these white hate groups, and you know, to rebel against Obama, and ex KKK members doing the new neo Nazi groups and shit like that. But I just wonder sometimes, like, do you realize what fucking decade are you in, motherfucker? That the shit is, you know, just like the GOP going down the fucking toilet. It's over, man. So the thing is, I want to know is, like, you know, how do people feel about these fucking racial groups? Do they even have meaning anymore? You know, when people still got the swastikas on their fucking boots and shit, does that really mean anything? Or do white people these days actually look at people and say, you know, you're a dumb motherfucker? Because that is still some old traditional dumb ass shit. But that brings me to a story, a real, real funny story. One of my coworkers, right? She's a white lady. And her daughter's white, and she's friends with a black girl that lives across the street. They're about 10, you know, 10 years old. And so it was Black History Month. And so she explained to her daughter how her and her friend couldn't even play together and how they couldn't talk to each other about 40 years ago and stuff like that, right? And then, of course, the girl asked, why? Because she had no idea, right? And then she said, well, it's because, you know, it was racial dividing. You couldn't talk to anybody of a different race, and you can't even drink out of the water fountains. And you know what the 12-year-old girl said to her mom? That's fucking stupid. Well, she didn't say it like that, but she's like, that's stupid. Now, even a 12-year-old girl knows that racial discrimination and you know, a separation is a dumb fucking point of view. So when is the rest of these fucking hate groups going to catch on and realize that people these days do not, you know, it's a change in the nation? Yes, thank you, Cookie. Racism is fucking bullshit. It's bullshit and it's a dumb ideal. And I hope, you know, me sitting in the studio with this cracker to my left and this cracker in front of me will, you know, set a precedence to change how the world should be. Thank you, y'all. That's a darker perspective. I'm out. Hey guys, how's it going, man?
I love how he drops the bass out of his voice and goes from scary black man to tolerant.
Hi guys, big out of this out here.
Hello there, guys. How are you?
Just don't play the doctor perspective for any of my coworkers. I like my job.
Yeah, no shit. Well,
ladies and gentlemen, now is the time at Spankwagon Radio where we honor our celebrities with the dead celebrities of the week.
Well, folks, this week we lost a true comic legend, a genius and master of slapstick comedy. Dom DeLuise died this week. Died May 4th, 2009. Died in his sleep. Guy who brought us movies like Cannonball Run, The Dom DeLuise Show, Smokey and the Bandit 2, History of the World, Last Married Couple in America, Muppet Movie, Hot Stuff. I mean, the guy has been in so many movies, and we lost him this week. candid camera. I mean, the guy's been so much. We really did lose someone this week. And I don't think we're ever going to be the same without him. So this weekend, guys, instead of sitting around doing nothing, masturbating on something or someone, go out, get a copy of Cannonball Rung, and look at him.
This paycheck clears.
Oh, yeah. One thing Spank Wagon Radio loves is some Canis hosting. Oh, yeah. Awesome quality web hosting. Starting at $1.99. CanisHosting.com.
Sugar, let's get it on.
favorite story. This will help you avoid a big tear-jerking scene. If you want to date other people, say so. Be prepared for the boy to feel hurt and rejected. Even if you've gone together for only a short time and haven't been too serious, there's still a feeling of rejection when someone says she prefers the company of others to your exclusive company. But if you're honest and direct and avoid making a flowery emotional speech when you break the news, the boy will respect you for your frankness, and honestly, he'll appreciate the kind, straightforward manner in which you told him your decision. Unless he's a real jerk or a crybaby, you'll remain friends. Make sure to keep your hair spotlessly clean. Wash it at least every 2 weeks. Once every 2 weeks. And if you see Johnny Football Hero in the hall, tell him he played a great game. Tell him you liked his article in the newspaper.
I'm the party star. I'm popular. I got my own car. I'm popular. I'll never get caught. I'm popular. I make football bets. I'm the teacher's pet.
I propose we support a one-month limit on going steady. I think it would keep people more able to deal with weird situations and get to know more people. I think if you're ready to go out with Johnny, now's the time to tell him about your one-month limit. He won't mind. He'll appreciate your fresh look on dating. And once you've dated someone else, you can date him again. I'm sure he'll like it. Everyone will appreciate it. You're so novel. What a good idea. You can keep your time to yourself. You don't need date insurance. You can go out with whoever you want to.
All right, we're back. Spank Wagon Radio. Find us online, spankwagon.net. I'm your host, Trencher.
I'm Big Daddy Decaf.
And Murph's doing something because you're taking off here in just a few.
Yeah.
And Murphy is already out at the outside guiding someone in. I have no clue what the fuck he's doing.
See how quickly ones get replaced when they say they're going to leave and shit?
Dude, you know, I mean, I expect the same thing with me. If I have to say I got to cut out early, he's going to have someone in this. He's going to run the board, and he's going to, you know, head out. From the chat room, the music choice, kind of touching base here with Scope. The playlist tonight was provided by Mr. Murphy's Rock and Roll Power Hour. It stole from his folder. So I guess technically I'm making Spankwagon better with the music choice.
Even though Murph is part of Spankwagon.
Oh yeah, Murph is a Spankwagon show in the sense of, you know, it's produced by a Spankwagon member. Hence, it's a Spankwagon show. Spankwagon Radio is a Spankwagon show. But the website that has no personality, spankwagon.net. Yeah, I'm going to rub this one in, man. That's salt, dude. That's just rough. I mean, wow. I mean, I have personality. Well, no. See, the fact that I have to say I have personality means I don't have personality. So I am fucked. I am a wasteland of humanity. I am a wasteland.
Don't say you're a wasteland of humanity, but
no. I mean, I'm. Don't roll your fucking eyes. Well, yeah, you can roll your fucking eyes. All right, we want to hear from you.
The site is kind of fucking,
dude,
boring.
The site's boring because I'm the only one doing it, and I don't have the time. So, I mean, there's my defense. So. We did have Vert call in a little earlier. We are still open with the lines. We just didn't have a chance to put them on because we had two bits to complete. We still want to hear from you. 1-866-LV-ROCKS, 1-866-587-6257. And this is a surprise. Someone actually got out of work.
Oh, look at there. Shit, of course.
Ah, I love it. I love it. Yet again, the black man leaves and the white women show up.
Every fucking
that
time.
That is hilarious.
Every fucking time.
All right, we're going to take a call, see what Vert has to say, because I have a funny feeling this is him. Spankwagon Radio, you're on the air.
Howdy.
Hey, Vert, what's up?
Oh, I just wanted to comment on what Decaf was talking about earlier.
Which was?
Oh, the racial thing.
Yes, let's talk about it.
Bringing up the kids to follow you.
Okay.
I think that a lot of these modern, I don't know if you call it cult or whatever you want to call it, but
exactly.
they tend to focus. They've got one agenda, you know. If you've got something like the Nazis, for instance, or something like that, you've got a whole collection of different things that define these people, and then you get people that have, you know, some one specific agenda, be it race or whatever, and then they try to associate it with this larger collection, and they have no idea of all of the different things that they're associating themselves with.
Well, the best thing is like it, the, you know, I have the website. I got to put the website up. They show pictures, right? And it's like 7-8 year old girls holding these signs saying, you know, I like my pure nation and my Christian ways and all this other stuff. And the best part is that these kids look, if you see the picture, they like have no clue what's going on. They have no idea why they're holding these signs, you know, other to represent that, you know, oh, this is how we're going to raise our kids. And, you know, it's kind of dumb that they're forcing them to be a way that, you know, probably they're not meant to be.
Well, yeah, they probably have no idea of all of the different things that they're associating themselves with beyond the one issue that they may be up there for, or that the big thing that's got their parents worked up.
Yeah, so what they do is they're using, like, Obama as an excuse to promote hate groups, where it was like the economy went in the tank long before Obama was in office.
Yeah.
So, you know, they try to justify, say, oh, things are bad. This is what happens when you put a black man in office. This black man's trying to get your ass a job. They don't understand that. That's the whole thing. It's like he's not out trying to make things worse for them. He's trying to actually help the people who are in the poor situation.
Oh, silly crackers, the Negro's here to help.
But anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
But thank you.
.net.
There you go.
Oh, look at that. Drink away, bitches. Drink away.
Thanks for the call, Vert. All right.
So joining us in the studio is our favorite white girl.
Motherfucker.
It's Dirty D.
Is that why you asked me to come down?
Every fucking
exactly. Oh. Oh, we love it when you come down here. You're so much fun, but see,
it's been a very long time.
It has. And when we were talking earlier, yeah, I was like, come on down. She said, oh, I'm not feeling good. I'm not doing so great. And I said, oh, come on. And then it was, Decaf's leaving early. We need someone to fill in the back half of the show. And D came.
Well, that's funny.
I think I do. I love you,
Decaf.
I'm feeling the back of the half of a show, but.
Hey-o.
God damn it.
And she's got to get a little hug going. Yeah. For those of you that don't know D, she is the wonderful, wonderful woman who hooked us up with the Rowdy Roddy Piper interview.
I have a hard penis now.
Yeah, it's mine. And she hooked us up with the Rowdy Roddy Piper interview, which you can still download.
You like me too.
Hey-o. You can still download that on spankwagon.net in our VIP section of the forum.
.net.
Wow, everybody's saying Dirty D is hot. And she's getting on the
chat.
No,
y'all just fucking realize that now?
I know.
Think they've ever seen me before.
No, they've seen you, just not.
I haven't been around for a long time.
Yeah, and I got to say, I do like the haircut. I like the little short hair. The only downside is there's not as much to grab when you're hitting it from behind.
I like
anyway.
Your tits that I can see down your shirt.
I know, you can see right down the top.
I purposely wore this shirt to emphasize this area for you guys.
Outstanding.
Damn. Looking like a true pro.
Mikey says he's never even seen her. Mikey's in the chat room, and he's sober tonight. Fantastic. That last event was
fucking
Mikey
miracle.
Holy shit. So
you want to see a filmmaker go spastic, give Mikey a beer.
Give Mikey a beer, a couple of shots, and all is well.
Or they miss it for Mikey's man.
Cookie says he'd give her the best 3 minutes of her life. Wow. So, D, how are things going with you, sweetie?
Doing all right.
Yeah.
Hanging in there. Working.
I do get something to show you before I go.
Anything interesting going on?
Not really. Work.
Just wearing a low cut.
Different day.
Oh, sweet. The boys are leaving. It's just you and me now. Awesome. And he doesn't turn on the sexual healing music. So. So what have you been doing with yourself?
Working.
Just working?
Working.
You're still
partying.
Over.
Partying. Oh, I have been partying a lot lately.
Hey-o. You're still over at Planet Hollywood doing Tony and Tina's wedding.
Yes.
And how's that going?
It's going well.
Who's the celebrity crasher this week?
We just got rid of Kato last night.
Got rid of.
We're very happy to see him go. He's a really nice guy, but way too much energy. And his comedy wasn't that funny. A lot of people thought it was funny. We were just sick of hearing it night after night after night after night.
Uh-huh.
And, so we have Frank Marino coming in.
Frank Marino, really?
Yes.
Wow. How'd you guys score that?
he's good friends of the show, and you know, we've been friends of his, and he's been friends of ours. So he has nothing going on right now. So
wow, well that's kind of a big score for you guys.
Yeah, we're really happy.
Wow,
very happy. Tonight was his first night, and I called in sick today.
Oh,
and now you're here. There's proof.
There's nobody's gonna know. Not
what are you saying about the show?
Nobody that I hang around with listens to this. No offense. Well, actually, I have gotten a few people to listen to it on occasion. My roommate was going to come by if she didn't have to work tonight. But
but she's off, or she's working tonight.
Yes, my favorite quote from her today was she works at the Rio, and she sometimes gets called in to do security for Fuego, that new
Fuego?
Club. The club.
Fire!
And she said, "Yeah, I've got to work Fuego. Bulldog's performing." I'm like, "Bulldog? I think of Bulldog. What the fuck,
is Bulldog?
I'm like, "Do you mean Pitbull?" She's like, "Oh yeah, that's about right." I'm like,
"Oh my god!"
That was the funniest thing that she said to me all week.
I just want to say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, decaf. We love you.
I'm sure. I'm sure everyone's gonna be crying that I got replaced by a sexy white girl, but you know,
that's the breaks.
And if you and if you are crying that I'm leaving and you're getting a sexy white girl, something's fucking wrong with you.
Someone's got some problems.
Bye, Cookie. I love you.
All right, bye, decaf. We love you. Now, we only have a couple minutes. You know what? I think this is a really good time to play the John Romita Jr. interview.
All right, sounds good.
So we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna play this. This is John Romita Jr. This is our go away, decaf. We might get some chicken. Or we might get some
might
chicks.
Get some more chicks.
Sorry.
Wow, Freud, line one.
Maybe we could get D to show a little more of the girls. So what we're gonna do here is we're gonna play this. This is our interview from last week with John Romita Jr. If you don't know who he is, bash yourself in the head with a rock.
Fair enough.
All right, 1, 2, 1, 2, check. Level's good. This is John Romita Jr. interview for Spankwagon Radio. Heard at spankwagon.net. And we actually are going to have Larry do the majority of this interview because he is the ultimate comic fanboy and he's been threatening me with his erection all night.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay, I'm going to get the obvious question out of the way. You've been answering this question all day long. What is it like to follow in your father's footsteps, who's obviously an icon of Marvel Comics?
Originally, it was very intimidating. But as I got more encouragement from my father, and then as I improved, the wise asses and the naysayers kind of fell by the wayside. And then I eventually outlasted all of the bastards. The longer I worked and the longer I was in the business, they all disappeared. I find success by attrition is a key component to success. You wait till everybody just gets old and dies. The truth of the matter is that I brought it upon myself to feel uncomfortable about having a father being so good. But he was always encouraging, and a lot of people were encouraging, but only those that looked at the artwork. They were just people that wanted me to fail because I was his son. You get that? You can't help it. When you work in a business where your father's in the business, you can't help it.
Now, in the business, of course, did you have any cases of nepotism you had to deal with, or people that suspected there was some?
Oh, yeah. That was the biggest part of it. People thought that I was only going to get into the business because of my father. And that was in their mind, that's the only reason I was in the business, not because I could draw. So I was always getting charged with it. They never used the word, but they would just say, "You're only here because of your father." And if I had hit everybody that deserved to be hit, I'd still be in prison now. So I was able to avoid it and put my hands in my pockets. And my father used to say, "You know what, just tell them to blow it out their ass and just don't pay attention to them and prove them wrong." And eventually, over time, I was able to do that.
And then you really did stand out on your own. I mean, your work, it does speak for itself. I mean, there's volumes of it out there. And I mean, it's almost a disservice to call you John Romita Jr. because you really do stand out so much on your own.
Well, thank you. That was when you're constantly told that you're not good enough, you can't help it. If you have any kind of pride in yourself, you got to try it. And then, of course, there's the almighty dollar. You want to try and make a living. And capitalism is a great thing, even today with the president we have. So there's a certain amount of urge. And my father imparted a great work ethic on me. So that combined with you work for what you get paid for, before royalties started, when people started making good money, you would get paid for what you did. There was no other income. So you just get greedy. You want to work harder so you get more money. And on top of that, people are constantly challenging you, telling you you're only in this because of your father. so you succeed despite them, in spite of them, you know, your critics, and then you embrace the constructive criticism.
I would think with an artist, though, once they saw your artwork, I mean, because I, bringing out the geek in me, I have the Chaos at the Coffee Bean, the first thing you did. And I remember as a kid seeing that and thinking, oh, this is the sign of, and I love the artwork. So it doesn't seem like the nepotism tag would have stuck too long once they saw what you could do.
It doesn't make a difference. When I got up to the office, I was working as an assistant, just doing sketches and helping out. And then I got out of college, and then I started working for the company as a production assistant. And people saw me around the office while my father worked up there. Those that were nice to me were people that knew me. Those that weren't nice to me were just, they were assholes to begin with. An asshole's an asshole, regardless. And I just worked, and occasionally I'd hear comments and murmurs, and I just shut my mouth, and I took it. And I socialized with my own set of friends. So I didn't hear it outside the office, but I would hear it when I go into the office. And eventually, as I improved, somebody would slip me a little bit of work, because they'd say, listen, I don't believe in nepotism, but I don't believe in the opposite of it. I'm not going to stop giving you work just because of it when you can do the work. So it managed to work itself out. And then even as an adult, I was hearing comments. And then I had to learn how to have a thick skin. So number one, it gave me a thick skin. Number two, it gave me the incentive to get better. So it worked its way out pretty well. And now here I am at this age, and the people that were just complete bastards to me are just not around anymore. So fuck them.
God bless internet radio. I mean, you can say pretty much anything you want.
Okay, yeah, I got to jump ahead. You and I talked about this earlier, and one of the best comic books out there right now is Kick-Ass. I've sold him on it. I tell everybody that'll listen to me.
Did you tell Mark Miller that when you spoke to him?
I didn't get a chance, actually. My grandfather passed away the same day I was supposed to meet him, so sorry. Chris, on my behalf, sent my thing. But yeah, no, the two of you together, I mean, his story with your art, I mean, it goes perfect. And your art is so... it can be innocent, but it throws you off when you see what's going on in that comic book.
That's a great way of putting it. Then I have an innocence about me as an artist because I've done mainstream books, and then the shock of doing something so brutal is kind of like watching Julie Andrews take her top off in a movie.
Right. Yeah, right.
Whoa,
exactly.
I want to see that just for the sec. So Julie Andrews has got nipples and a great set of tits. It's the same effect, but the story is Mark's. I add what I add to it. But if Mark doesn't come up with some of these odd and quirky things, it's not what it is. And he gives me credit, and I give him the credit. I'd say his idea, but we go 50-50 on it. But, Mark has got this amazing ability to do the odd thing.
It's just one of those things where I think it's a great team-up. I mean, the first time you see Hit Girl, I mean, it's a shock. It's just, yeah. And the way you drew it, it's still that innocent little girl, but at the same time, she's covered in blood. She's splitting people in half. It's amazing what you guys are doing.
Yeah. Matthew Vaughn, the director of the movie, likened her to a combination of Natalie Portman as the professional, as the little girl in the Hit Professional, and the femme Nikita. Who else was a young Hit girl in the movie? He named three.
No Point of No Return, Bridget Fonda.
Okay. Named a couple of girls, young actresses. Oh, and also seeing, what's-her-face, in when she was 12 years old, the model.
What, not Kate Moss?
Not Kate Moss. The older model. She's now
Brooke Shields.
And also Jodie Foster. So he said that this is not exactly the first time you've seen young girls do provocative stuff. However, this brutally provocative stuff is the first time, and it's going to shock a lot of people.
My God. Now, you do mention that. You say it is brutally shocking. How different is it for you to go from something mainstream, like a prominent Marvel title, into something like Kick-Ass? Do you have to shift gears?
Yeah,
or
yeah. I told Mark that I'd probably get used to it. And after telling people all of these years, no, I'm not going to do brutal anything, sex, brutal violence, just for the sake of doing it. Here I am as the perfect hypocrite. But when Mark gave me the synopsis and told me this is a really cool idea, try it, it was not in the form it is now. The original synopsis was just Big Daddy and Hit Girl. And then as I started doing some preliminary sketches, he says, wait a minute, I got a better idea. Let's update it to this. And then he added the Kick-Ass character. So it morphed into what it is. And I told him, I haven't done anything like this. Let me try it. And he says, yeah, give it a shot and don't hold back. After doing it, I it became a guilty pleasure. Then I found myself worrying about being original with the violence, because you can be repetitive if there's no superheroes. All it is a girl with a katana, one of the samurai swords. How do you chop people up in various ways? How do you get violent in various and original ways? Then it was a matter of coming up with new ideas. And I had fun with it. A guilty pleasure, man. All right, he said to me, when the little girl chops those guys up in the room and then skewers the hooker and so on, he said, he gave me very vague choreography on it. Very vague. He says, at this point, he calls me the Sicilian. And he says, at this point, Sicilian, you're going to have to create your own disgusting array of violence. And I had to come up with something new and different. So he said, try slicing this guy, or cutting his head off. Now, I got bored with the cutting the head off thing. So she guts him, and then she cuts the top of his head off, because she's probably a bad aim. That's all I could think of. Originally, I wanted her to do it right down the middle. I thought it would be easier if it was a shot across this way. So this way, she cuts the top of his head off. Then I can come up with a different degrees of through the head, through the middle of the head, through the back of the head. I figured this is a way of varying my disgust. So here I am, not allowing my 12-year-old to come down into the office to watch me draw this. No, you can't come in, Vinny. No, what are you doing, Dad? And then my wife will say, what do you mean he can't come in? What are you doing down there? Nothing, honey. The television isn't on. Don't worry. You know.
Speaking of the movie, this is your. I hear this is going to be your directorial debut. You're directing part of the movie itself. Tell me a little bit about that.
That's correct. The director, Matthew Vaughn, who's also a producer, wanted to be true to the comic. And he felt that if we did that, we could show it in an animated form. Not only that, he originally wanted just drawings of the villains that Big Daddy, Nicolas Cage, when you put up an altar to people, what do you call that?
Like a shrine?
A shrine. You have a shrine to your villains, all the victims. Instead of just putting up body parts or something like that, he illustrates everybody that he kills, that he gets revenge with. So as he's heading towards the mob boss, he'll kill all these guys, and instead of taking apart and photographing them, he illustrates them and puts the illustration up on the wall, and he's got a wall. A trophy wall. And the director wanted me to do all the illustrations of all of the villains and all the bad guys. I did about 70 drawings of those. And then he felt that we should do something along the lines. Since Big Daddy is a cartoonist, an amateur cartoonist, he's going to illustrate his own origin in a comic book that his partner finds and finds out what kind of twisted maniac he is. So when his partner walks into his room after Big Daddy... Before he becomes Big Daddy, he's a cop that gets sent away by a crooked cop. While he's in prison, the partner comes in and sees the comic book that he's drawn, finds out how he became what he became, and then we morph into an animated sequence of the origin until he gets out of prison. And then his daughter, who's just a couple of years older, meets him at the prison, and it's very tender and very loving, and the partner, who's been watching the daughter all this time, smiles and walks away, figuring, wow, it's great to see them together. We go immediately to Nicolas Cage teaching his daughter how to take a .45 slug in the chest with body armor on and turning into this maniacal vigilante psycho. And it's this amazing dichotomy of this tender, loving, he loves her, and he speaks to her in almost a patronizing tone. Okay, sweetheart, now remember, it's going to be like a punch in the chest, but you got to learn how to take it. Boom! And he blows her back against the wall. You know, it's a great alter ego, and it's thrilling. So we have this animated sequence that I'm directing, and I'm very happy about it. I'm going to get a little credit. You know, assistant director. I'm also getting producing credit.
You'll get an IMDb credit, which is
pretty much useless.
Yes.
I have an IMDb credit.
That's right, Alan. So now, moving across mediums and moving from a mainstream to a more independent book, what do you want to do next?
I mean, if you've got a
dream that you want to put out there, something, anything, you want to record your own disco album, what is it you want to put together?
I'd like to direct a film. But I have a couple of ideas that I'm working on getting them into film form, trying to sell them. I'd like to start with the graphic novel to film avenue. And eventually I'd love to try directing, but it would be nearly impossible. I'm not a kid anymore. And there are people who are more qualified than me. But there's this nice... tandem that they've developed in the industry where you connect movies to graphic novels, where directors a la Frank Miller and Robert Rodriguez, and then Frank eventually did his own. So there's a possibility. Now, I don't consider myself Frank Miller-esque, but as a storyteller, I think I can hold my own. So I think with the proper technical supervision, a good director of photography, I think I can do it. So I, since Frank did it, I'd like to believe I can do it.
Cool. I think that's it. Yeah. No.
All right, guys. So again, this is John Romita Jr. for Spankwagon Radio here. Again, thank you, sir. Appreciate your time very much.
To everybody that's ever seen Spankwagon Radio, you've got to keep it up and tell every one of your friends and have them tell two friends and turn this into the best internet radio show in existence. See ya.
Wow, now I'm erect. Thank you very much, sir. We appreciate it.
All right, we're back here in studio. All the mics are on, so you can go in. As we're watching the chat room just kind of go weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a great interview, actually, with John Romita Jr. At the Palms last week. Like the drop at the end there. That was very nice to hear.
I didn't even have to ask him to
do that. No, you didn't. That's awesome.
It was really cool.
So tell us a little bit more about the event. I mean, we got the Larry and the Less Than Ultimate Wolverine thing going on, but who else showed up one more time?
Let's see. We had Less Than Ultimate Wolverine, which was really funny. We had, Dark Phoenix. We had a chick dressed as Storm. That was really cool. We had a couple of sponsors there.
And, of course, this was all put together by our buddy Derek from Comic Oasis.
Yeah, and it was kind of cool when I found out more about – I mean, he asked us to do the event but didn't really give us a lot of information. Turns out the event was mainly a charity event for the Boys and Girls Club here in Las Vegas.
All right.
Excuse me. There was a silent auction, and people were bidding on a couple of items. One of the things that I kind of got bummed out about is when we did the Stan Lee interview, I didn't get anything from that. You got a comic book signed, which is at home, I'm sure, under glass.
Yes.
And we had a T-shirt signed. And
We gave that away to a listener.
We did that at the auction. At the auction for Jason, for the leukemia kid. We did that for him. And we got a couple of $100 out of that for him. So I bid on and eventually won a Stan Lee autographed Hulk poster. And it was phenomenal to get that, and it's at home. I'm getting ready to put that up on the wall. I'm going to get a frame for it and everything. The night was just so damn cool, and it was just really cool to see all the people there. We didn't have as many people come out. For me personally, there wasn't as many people there that I wanted, but that's just me personally. Derek was more than happy with the turnout. John Romita Jr., the guy was there all night. Just the guy drinks. He drinks like there's no tomorrow. It was fantastic. It had to be one of the coolest things that I'd done in a long time. And one of the things that came out of that, and I'm kind of happy to say, we are now working on getting Stan Lee on the phone.
Nice.
In an environment where he feels like he has to do a puff piece.
Right.
So
right.
We're going to get Mr. Lee on the phone, and it'll be a really great time for that.
Very cool. Very cool. And, you know, big thank you to Derek at Comic Oasis for actually yet again another kick-ass opportunity to interview, well, comic book celebrities, people that we've been reading and watching following their art for years and years and years.
Joe Rubenstein, John Romita Sr., John Romita Jr. You know, Jr. works on he works on Kick-Ass, which has got to be one of my favorite comics right now. And the way he appreciates, I mean, you heard it in the interview, especially when it comes to the violence, the way he appreciates the story and how it translates for him. I can't wait to see what the animated feature looks like in the movie. That's going to be really, really cool.
Very cool. And also big thanks to the Palms and Joe at the Palms for hooking us up and getting everything set up for us so we could be, you know, a part of the show. Although I should say Murph and Decaf, because you two held down the Spankwagon ship for sure.
We did, and we had a good time with that. And hopefully some people from that night are listening tonight. I know we made a lot of people laugh, and we had a lot of fun with it. I mean, we had basically two wireless mics, so we're just running ramshackle over the whole place.
That's awesome.
Never once did we have someone say, "Hey, man, you're all right." No, we.
So you could have got away with Dick in the Box?
We probably could have gotten away with Dick in the Box. That had been a lot of fun. But no, we didn't bring Dick in the Box. Instead, we just brought Less Than Ultimate Wolverine. And when we get the pictures up of that, I mean, fucking Larry.
Well, I know you sent me the one picture, Larry. We should just throw that up on the site.
Barely in that fucking shirt.
Email me that photo, and I'll put that up as sort of the album cover for this week's show.
I will email that to you, and that was, yeah. So, D. You are, oh boy,
Cookie just said something in the chat room. Wow.
Cookie's going right between the lines again.
Wow. Thanks, Cookie.
You see, the thing about Cookie is that whether it's a shirt versus skins game, you know he's on both sides.
You know, I love Cookie. He just confuses me. Just,
dude, that.
Why did I think Cookie was a girl?
Because Cookie likes penis, but.
Okay.
Cookie likes everything.
Yeah, Cookie's a pansexual.
Man, what a
woman, alien.
He's a pansexual.
Okay.
And he loves cock. Wow, thanks, Cookie. Didn't need to see that tonight. see, we got Cookie as a listener the night that we had Foxy. And we
were in a porn studio.
In a porn studio when we had Foxy that night. And we got Cookie that night.
Or did Cookie get us?
I don't know. Cookie's one of those listeners who we just appreciate no matter what.
Absolutely.
And that's that.
Hey, by the way, we got some information. 7 million, 50 games is $140,000 per game. Average of 4 at-bats is $35,000 per bat.
Oh, God.
Gone.
Jesus Christ, Manny, you're killing me with this
all
shit.
Because Manny can't get a boner.
All because Manny couldn't get a boner. So.
Legally.
Legally. So, I mean, we got a little bit of time left in the show.
I don't know. I mean, I got nothing because I didn't really write much this week.
Well, let's talk about some stuff that's going on. We got upcoming movies, movies that have passed. Terminator Salvation is coming out. That's the next big one.
Well, right now, today, Star Trek.
Well, today, Star Trek came out. Yeah.
I'm hearing nothing but good stuff. Rotten Tomatoes is saying it's good stuff. Everybody who's gone to it has loved it. Everybody's saying this is going to jumpstart the franchise.
God, I hope not, because it's all about time travel and changing everything again. I've read in several places that hardcore Star Trek fans are going to dislike the movie because it's so easily watchable and it doesn't continue the canon. It starts in a place that we've never seen before and only theorized and read about in books.
You know what? The thing is, it's necessary. You have to start over because you can only go so far with actors who are going to be dead, or most of them are dead. I mean, you know, you can only go so far with that group. I mean, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Well, I mean,
swine flu.
There have been a lot of other stories that have come out. I think Enterprise could have been something they could have continued
with.
Okay,
Enterprise, they fucked up royally. Okay, the minute they made it more soap opera than Star Trek, they were done. Yeah. When you had the Vulcan rubdown scene in that first episode, while incredibly hot, doesn't follow canon enough.
No. There's also, let's see here. There was that Starfleet Academy show that was talked about for a while that could have been really cool, that really could have helped. For me, I always appreciated Star Trek as a television show more than a movie, because in a television show, you can get super, super nerdy. In the movie, you have to appeal to a broader audience. And, I mean, for me, Star Trek peaked with Wrath of Khan. Peaked with two. Star Trek the Motion Picture was phenomenal, but Wrath of Khan was...
I was not a fan of the motion picture. It was good, but, you know, even when I rewatched it as I got older, I was okay. It's okay.
I don't like... Look, I have a problem with reimagining and reboots in movie series. They just kind of change too much. You know, especially they're going to do it now with Predator. Robert Rodriguez has been attached. They're going to do it with, Ripley Scott may come back and do an Alien prequel, which I think is...
Okay.
Or Ridley Scott, excuse me. Ridley Scott may come back and do an Alien prequel.
The problem I have, why again are we still going back to the well? I mean, Star Trek's going to be phenomenal. Terminator's going to be phenomenal. Why do we have to keep going back to the goddamn well? As far as I'm concerned... We need to make new characters. I mean, I'm sorry. We're drudging everything of the 60s, 70s, 80s.
We're drudging it back up.
Thin. We're going to run out of material. We're going to run out of stuff. And there's not going to be anything new to fall upon. You know, what are they going to do? Reimage the guy from Saw?
Saw 6 is coming out this Halloween. You know, when you have something that has been done to death, then a reimagining is kind of, you know, when you've gone as far as you can really go. Like with a good example of that is with Nightmare on Elm Street. You've really taken that to the limit that
you're done.
Take it.
There's no more. I mean, Freddy versus Jason was a one-off that worked because it was a one-off.
It was a one-off. And then, they were talking about doing, in the comic books, there was Freddy versus Jason versus Ash that talked about possibly as a movie that didn't work. And now they're rebooting.
But it was a comic.
It was a comic. They're rebooting the franchise now, doing another Nightmare on Elm Street, which I think is going to do horribly, even though the people attached look really good. But when you have something like a good example is Alien, all we know about the alien is it comes out of an egg, it hooks up to someone's face, takes a little bit of their DNA, becomes something, and makes a run for it. this is really going to give a chance to explore more of alien physiology. You know, some of the books out there like Hive War and some of the books that come out, it gives us a chance to really expand on that.
Right.
And that's something I'm looking forward to.
Well, we'll see.
And if anybody's going to do it really well, it's going to be Ridley Scott. The other side of that, though, is going to be Predator with Robert Rodriguez, which I think will fall just flat on its face.
Well, we'll see. More to come, I guess, huh?
The midget porn, but not by much.
Hey, folks. Chris Murphy from Spankwagon Radio here. I want to let you know that, yes, I may be a comic genius, and the ladies love me. But when it comes to working on my own car, I am a fucking noob. Luckily for me, the guys at Dad's Garage take care of me every time I have an issue. Everything from brake jobs, oil changes, all the way up to things like getting a transmission rebuilt. Even if you have yourself a little hot rod, these are the guys you're going to want to check out. They're at 3425 North Rancho Drive, just north of Cheyenne, 702-880-0992. Tell them the guys from Spankwagon Radio and LV Rock sent you. I guarantee you will enjoy it and have a great time. You won't really have a great time, but you'll enjoy it because they're not going to rip you off and charge you like $1 million. Tell you they had to replace some part that doesn't actually exist on your vehicle and then break something else so they have to come back in the next week. So we've all seen those reports on television. God, I love those reports on television. You know what? The last time I took my car there, when I came back, I still had all the change in the car. That was awesome. Check them out. Dad's Garage, 3425 North Rancho Drive, 702-880-0992.
Yeah. You know what you listen to? You listen to Spankwagon Radio, baby. Hosted by Canis Hosting. Now, it starts off $1.99 a month. Even my poor black ass can afford $1.99, nigga. So sign up today, bitches! Sign up today, bitches! Cheap motherfuckers!
Tether the ball, we're gonna tether the ball, the motherfucker.
Oh, you like that, don't you?
I love it when you come back with the funk, dude. I love the funk.
Camera is on her, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. But the thing is, we got to send him in hysterics. Just undo the clasp. The clasp.
Yeah, just undo the little clip there. Very nice.
Nice.
I love that sweater. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Absolutely fantastic. For those of you that did not tune into Mr. Murphy's Rock and Roll Power Hour on Tuesday, we did a special two-hour edition. Dee and Trench were both there. Did a two-hour edition of Blues, which I...
It was really good.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah,
really
it was.
Good. I enjoyed it. I kept listening. I put it on in the background while I did everything I needed to in the apartment and...
Masturbated into a sock.
Absolutely.
You know, I think
one I used to own black socks. They're all gray.
They're all gray now. One of the things about that show,
smell
I really
like bleach.
Oh, look at that! Somebody else gets the bleach joke
nice.
Out. I love this woman. She's fantastic and highly touchable. Heyo,
focus.
Sorry.
Focus!
Sorry. I get lost. One of the things I liked what
He's
I did
lost
with this
his
show
own pants.
Is that I brought out a lot of stuff like John Lee Hooker, B.B. King, a lot of old school stuff.
You brought out something I was not expecting.
Samuel L. Jackson?
Yes.
Samuel L. Jackson, one of his songs from Black Snake Moan, The Black Keys, The Mississippi All-Stars. I brought out some of the guys, the more contemporary people that are really helping to keep the art alive.
Yeah.
So,
including, I heard that Whitmore guy, that Joker.
William
is just
Elliot Whitmore.
Insane for.
I just saw the Black Keys.
What'd you think of them?
They were pretty good. Well, they put on a really good show.
Now, did you see them at Coachella?
Yeah.
So tell us about Coachella.
Oh, it was amazing. So amazing.
Did you see the naked guy get tased?
I did not. I heard about it all weekend because we camped. My roommate and I camped there. But so we heard about it, but I didn't see it until after I came home and saw this video of it. But
now tell everybody who doesn't know what Coachella is, because we have a lot of
Coachella
real introverts in the chat room.
Coachella is... a music and arts festival in Indio, California.
Mm-hmm.
It happens once a year. It can kind of compare to like Lollapalooza, Bonnaroo. There's, you know, tons
South
of
by Southwest without the tech?
No. No.
I've heard people say. I've heard people say that Coachella is starting.
Well, because South by Southwest is where a lot of bands and stuff get shopped and stuff. Yeah. So it's not that. This is just all entertainment. This is all the concerts. It's, you know.
And I've heard it said that it's just slightly less weird than Burning Man.
Yeah, it's not even comparable. I mean, Burning Man is like the hippie capital celebration of the year. This one, I mean, yeah, you could say there's a lot of hippies there, but not. I mean, there's every walk of life there, you know, younger kids. And I think even in Paul McCartney, one of the interviews Paul McCartney had after he performed said, I'd never seen so many younger people at one of his shows, which I thought was fabulous that, you know, the younger generation is enjoying this kind of music.
Right.
And I mean,
what did he play? I mean, Wings?
What did he play? He played Wings. He played some of his new stuff. Fireman or something. His new thing. He played tons of Beatles stuff. And it was, you know, like a 15-minute Hey Jude, you know, thing. It was, I can't even.
All right.
Words
has no
description for Paul McCartney.
Words fail. Okay.
But I saw Paul McCartney. I saw The Killers, Leonard Cohen, who was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Front row. I mean, front row. I have video of this. I still got to post it all on my MySpace, Facebook, whatever. But he just was so amazing. Just to see that man, he's like, I don't know how, 76 years old, and just rocked it. And it just, his voice is mesmerizing. Morrissey, he sucked big hairy donkey balls.
I was going to say, who was the worst? And you mentioned Morrissey, so I'm not even going to ask the question anymore.
He was pathetic. But
Rulden Smith sucked when he was on his own.
Let's see, who else did I see? Joss Stone, Conor Oberst. Paolo Nutini, Chemical Brothers. Entian De Crisi.
All right.
Puts on a really good.
It sounds like you just did. I mean, it was like, what, 3 days?
3 days.
Oh, my camped. God.
Partied a lot.
Had a lot of fun.
Little sleep.
And have you sobered up at least sometime this week, or was it just late last week you sobered up?
I'm still fucked up from it. But it's because, like, once you go and you have such a good time, it's like this hangover that happens, like, from the whole experience. And just the people that I met all weekend and camping out and, you know, just rocking out until 3 o'clock in the morning with a guy playing a mandolin, you know, and doing sing-alongs to
and acid.
Okay, so
I didn't have any acid.
Oh, how many drugs
there was
did you
acid.
Take?
Two.
Two. What'd you take?
None of them better be Advil.
No.
Okay, good.
What'd you take?
Oh, well, then if that counts, then I have three.
Three. What'd you take?
I smoked a little pot.
Uh-huh.
And did a little coke.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Wow. Yeah.
And a little Tylenol for the hangover.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone do a little pot and a little coke. It's always a lot.
Well, we somehow.
Let's do 8-ball. It lasts all weekend.
I hate to admit this, but somehow we got known as the drug tent.
Oh, shit.
Because we had a supply of other stuff, but we didn't take it. We had to pick up for other people. Mm-hmm. And somehow we got known as the green fringe tent that had the drugs, which we didn't.
And the cops didn't taser the tent.
No, because we got patted down and searched every time we walked in and out of the campground or in when we went into the festival.
Uh-huh.
So we managed to sneak in a gallon of vodka.
Oh, but yeah, you were getting patted down.
But we were getting patted down. Our you know, everything that we brought in was getting searched and everything. Uh-huh. But we got in a gallon of vodka.
Wow. Why does vodka smell like tuna?
Ew.
Is that what you had? Is that
I had it. Yeah, I had a gallon of vodka in my cooter.
Cooter. Wow. Okay, so tell us, how'd you get a gallon of vodka in?
We took it in our cooler, and
it was close. Point that out.
Cooler.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. And we'd frozen all of our water and put it on top. And we went in at a time when it was really busy, and all the security guards were just getting.
So you froze the water, poured it in the same bottle with the water.
No, we had the gallon of vodka, which we had on the bottom of the cooler.
Ah.
And then we had frozen bottles of water all on top and kind of buried it. And there was no way this guy was going to dig all through it and couldn't see it. So We did that, and then we snuck vodka into the campground or into the festival in a suntan lotion bottle.
Oh wow, that's when you really need to have a drink.
Wow.
Did they sell any alcohol there?
Yes.
So
at $12 a cup.
Yeah, it was very
Jesus
expensive.
Jesus Christ.
But we still paid for it, which was
with
ridiculous.
Your lives.
Yeah, we still went. And wow. You had to go into the beer tent and drink all the alcohol. You couldn't come out with it.
What?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, so you could only take it.
That's like doing coke in the bathroom and not leaving the bathroom.
Or the tent.
Wow.
Or the porta potty.
Or the porta potty. But it was a really good time.
It was a great time. I think I'm going to Lollapalooza.
Sorry, guys. You don't get to do that, though.
No, just...
Nope. You don't get to impersonate a host.
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
That you don't get to do. Sorry. That you don't get to do, guys. That gets you gone for good.
All right. So...
I missed something.
The chat room. Every once in a while, you have to.
Yeah, it's one of the two, and I'm not sitting there digging through it. I am judge, jury, and executioner.
Yep.
That's it. Banned for life right there. You don't get to impersonate a host.
Fair enough. All right. So, you were saying about. Where were we at? Because Murph went on a rampage.
Sorry about
over
that.
The mic.
So you had a good time.
I had a great time.
And 3 days. Did you guys drive or fly down there?
We drove. We picked up two random people. That we took with us, one little guy from Australia and some stoner kid from here that set his leg on fire in the back of the car.
Set his what?
Set his leg, his pants on fire in the back of the car on the way home. Because we were carpooling, and if you carpool down there, mm-hmm. you can win, you know, like VIP lit passes for life uh-huh. and all this other stuff, which we didn't win shit. But so we found two random people that needed to ride out there.
Yeah, well, how'd you find them? Just on the
Craigslist? On the Coachella forums.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. But I mean, it's really cool that that they would encourage that because it kind of goes along with the whole mentality of Coachella, you know?
Yeah. But it was cool.
Will you do it next year?
Yes.
Yes.
I've already asked for the time off. I think I'm going to Lollapalooza. In August.
You know...
But I worked that. I worked it, like, in 05.
George Clinton did Lollapalooza last year. So that would be something that would definitely... that would definitely encourage me to go back.
I can't remember the whole lineup off the top of my head, but yeah. It's...
it's going to be online. It's going to be really available.
Yeah.
So really did you see anybody having sex out in the open? Or
no.
Anything crazy at all?
No. There was nothing crazy besides, you know... People smoking pot all over the place.
Oh
I mean, I've never seen
and a
so
naked
much
dude
anyway.
Getting tasered.
Naked dude.
That was fun when I saw that.
And when I say naked,
he's such a little wiener.
Naked dude.
Oh my god.
He's got a really. I think
he's
that's
got
why
ginormous that, balls and this little
itty bitty penis,
tinky winky.
I think that's why that chick walks up and shakes his hand. She just feels bad for his tiny little penis in a wizard costume. Bad. Go to liveleak.com. You can see it there if you're not afraid of seeing penis. It's a lot like watching an episode of Oz. I guess
just look up. Coachella Taser. I mean, I'm sure you can
It's Naked Wizard. If you YouTube Naked Wizard. Yeah. Coachella Naked Wizard. And
yeah, that's it's one of those videos. What has been seen cannot be unseen.
Unfortunately, you had to actually look to see.
Yeah.
Before you realized
like
it was unseen.
I feel bad for the cops, too. They were just trying to... Dude, just put your clothes on and you can walk away and... Yeah, he wasn't having any of that.
He was
tripping
some,
big.
Yeah, he wasn't belligerent. He was just dumb.
He was down at the Sahara tent, which they were all fucked up down there.
There you go.
Wow. Well, this has been an interesting week.
Always.
Had some hotness in the studio.
Woo!
Had some blackness in the studio.
Yay!
Did a little recap. Watched me cry about Manny Ramirez. I damn near did cry the other day.
You were pissed when we were chatting
so
at work.
I was so mad.
All right.
Mad.
You've been listening to Spank Wagon Radio. Find us online at spankwagon.net.
.net.
.net.
Hey, drink, bitches.
You can also contact us radio@spankwagon.net, myspace.com/spankwagon, or twitter.com/spankwagon, because we update those all so frequently. Big thank you to all of our syndicates, LV Rocks, LVRocks.com, KC Host, Radio Network, Door From Hell Radio, Showdown Network, Radio X UK, Trax Radio, and Kiss 96. That's all I got to say.
That's all you got to say. Guys, remember, what's that? What'd you say?
Anything.
Oh, I thought you said something. Guys, remember, we're here every week from 7 to 9, but you can always download the podcast. Don't forget Mr. Murphy's Rock and Roll Power Hour. live Tuesdays from 9 to 10, and the podcast is up on the website for that, too. Check out the forums. Click, contribute, communicate, be a part of the whole thing. The bacon forum is still there.
Yay, bacon!
I love bacon.
You do.
So, right. Again, big thanks to Derek from Comic Oasis for inviting us out last week. Big thanks to Dirty D for coming down to the studio and molesting me under the table. Yippee! Vert, thank you for calling. Everyone for calling. Rev, no Rev this week.
No Rev, yeah.
That's a little disheartening. I wonder where he is.
So, yeah, mad props to Radio X2K. Scope, Toe, Vert, your name.
Yeah, everybody. Cookie,
Dirty
love
D.
You. Dirty D. Mad props to all of you. Mad props. Cookie wants to get molested. Cookie, we're going
to
be
okay, wait. Thing is, Cookie wants to get molested by D, and then molested by you, and then molested by Decaf.
And then by you, and then
I'm
by
running
Foxy.
Yeah. Finally, you know, Foxy just has to be like the cherry on the cake.
You know, here's the funny Cookie. Thing about that. Cookie, we're going to be out in L.A. in August. We may have to hook up and have dinner or something, man. Because I know you live out there. So.
And Murph will wear his mankini just for you.
I will. I absolutely will. So, D, you get to give the last word of the night there, sweetie. Or you could just show your tits.
Get a choice.
I got nothing.
Tits it is.
Tits it is.
To the camera, please.
No. To me, personally, out back. Anyway, so nothing. Say goodbye. Last word of the night.
Miss you guys. Aww. Thanks for letting me come be here.
Dot, dot, dot.
Come, dot, dot, dot.
See you next week, folks.
Original webcast. Visit LVRocks.com for studio cam and live chat room. Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
Behold the king. The king of kings.
Hail to the king, baby. We'll be right back.